Man, you are so awesome, God. Hey, you know what? Easter's coming up. Wow, just a couple more Sundays, we'll be at Easter, so invite your friends, and we're believing for a great Easter service. It's going to be just amazing, I know, and the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand this morning and turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Jeremiah. I'm going to go to Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Amen. And we've just been talking about the Word of God, and He is so good. Hallelujah. Man, God, you are good. You're so good, Lord. Amen. Jeremiah 15 and 16 says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Come on, hold up your Bible this morning. Let's say it like we mean it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn around, somebody, give them a high five and say, God's got you. Amen. You know, just got to think about it. Just less than a year or so ago, you can turn around and give somebody a high five, you go. Man, this COVID thing, I am glad we are through this. Amen? And I'm telling you, God's got us. Praise God. What a powerful scripture. And Jeremiah says here that when we get into the Word of God, you know, when we find the Word of God, when we discover God's Word, he said, your words were found. So he's saying when you seek God's word, you know, he's talking about seeking the word of God for a now word in due season. So maybe you're here this morning and you need a now word for your season. And the best way to have a now word is to get into the word and discover all the good things God has for you. Because we serve a good God. Not a bad God, but a good God. He said, your words were found. He said, I ate them. I took them in. It's not like I just passed them by, but I took them into my heart. I took them into my life. I ate them. They became a part of my DNA. God's word needs to be a part of our DNA. Amen? And your word was to me, what? The joy and rejoicing of my heart. His word brings us joy in seasons of life when it seems like everything's going wrong. We can find joy in the word of God. And the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my, what, strength. And so we find strength through the seasons of life by the word of God, as we find it, as we discover it, as we take it in, as we just allow that word to penetrate us, and we enjoy this word. Amen? The Bible says, ask. Matthew 7, 7. He says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. When we seek God's word, when we ask, amen, and believe, and when we just knock at the word of God, he says it's going to be open to us. Things will open up to you when you get into the word of God and the word gets into you. Things begin to rearrange and shift in your life, and the blessings of the Lord and the favor of God are all found in God's word. And so as we absorb the word of God and as we speak the word of God, I mean, things begin to rearrange and happen in our life. Y'all with me this morning? Amen. So the Lord wants us to prioritize his word. Amen. And that's what he said. I am prioritizing your word. God, I am taking it in. Jeremiah was saying, I am taking it in, Lord. It's his word that restores. Church, it's his word that restores. It's his word that brings health to us. Holly mentioned it this morning. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. It's his word that brings life to us. It's his word that brings healing to us. It's his word that just penetrates us and gives us strength, amen? And it causes us to live and make our living through God's word. Look at John 17, 16, 17. Look what Jesus said. He said, they are not of the world. Turn to somebody and say, I'm not of the world. Amen. Just as I am not of the world. We are not of this world, church. We do not live in this world's economy. We don't take what the world takes. We don't slap people, although you may want to. Like Will, man. He just lost his mind for a second, right? I was so blessed because Denzel Washington pulled him aside and was praying with him, you know, and I was just so blessed by that, you know, because I believe Will's got a good heart. He just needs, you know, he needs somebody to mentor him, really. He said, sanctify them. Let me ask you, any of you ever had the spirit of slap come up on you? Come on, somebody. As a pastor, I get that often, right? I have to really refrain, like, Jesus, help me here, Lord. Amen, man. And, man, I could kind of relate, right? So, no, don't do that, right? Reframe. Don't do that, right? So, that's why he said here, he said, sanctify them. Sanctify them. By your truth, your word is truth. Sanctify, now sanctify, he's talking about, back up to the previous verse, verse 16, if you can, Aaron, thank you. He's talking about us not being like the world. And the way we're not like the world is through the word, right? It's through the word that we're not like the world. And he says, we're set apart. He said, sanctify them. The word sanctify, go ahead and drop down to 17. The word sanctify simply means to be set apart. God has set us apart from the world. We don't live in the land of Egypt any longer. Oh, come on, somebody. We live in the land of Canaan. We live in the land of Jesus. We live in the land of blessing. Amen? We don't live in the land of the curse. We don't live in the land of the failure. We live in the land of the success. We live in the land of the blessing and the favor of God on our life because God has sanctified us. How has he sanctified us? He set us apart through the word of God. Who is the word of God? Well, when you get right down to it, Jesus is the word of God. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. Amen? And in verse 14, it says that we saw the word manifested in the flesh. That word is Jesus, and Jesus has set us apart and blessed us. We don't have to take the same junk that the world takes. We don't have to take the same anxiety, the same depression, the same Blue Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday. We do not have to take that. We have been set apart, and the way we've been set apart is by God's word. God's word sets us apart. So how does God speak to us? He speaks two ways. First of all, he speaks through his written word. When we're in the word, when we get in the word and we start allowing the word to get in us, God will speak to us through his word. God will give us promises we can cling on and revelation of God's word, rhema words to our heart that will set us apart. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Y'all getting the word, right? I know you do because if you've sat under me long enough, I know you get into the word, amen? And I know that word is made. Let me ask you this. How many of you could say the word has made a difference in your life? Wow. That is awesome. So we get in the written word. The living voice of God speaks from his word. This word is alive, and when we get in the word, the living voice of God begins to speak to us in those situations. So we get into the written word, and we get the rhema word, we get the now word, the word for the season of our life as we get into this word and we allow it to get into us, right? And then we have his spoken word to us, amen? Through the Holy Spirit inside of you. God will speak to you through the Holy Spirit and line up his word with your heart and your life. God will speak through you through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our guide. Holly was talking about that. She was going to preach my sermon this morning and didn't know what I was going to talk about. Amen. But through his spoken word, God speaks to you by the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who guides you with inward peace. The Holy Spirit is always guiding us with peace. Holly spoke this morning. She says, if you don't have peace, don't go there. What is that? That's the written word in your life speaking to you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And guiding us in peace. Guiding us in shalom. God wants shalom for our lives. God wants nothing lacking, nothing broken going on in our lives. In our relationships, God wants you to have a solid relationship, not to be bickering and fighting and carrying on all the time. Come on, somebody. Amen. If you're married, man, God wants you to have a solid relationship with your spouse. He wants you to care for one another. Husbands, love your wives. Don't fight your wives. Love your wives. Amen. Wives, submit to your husband. Oh, submit, Pastor. What does that mean? Get up under him, make him better. That's what submit means. Don't make him bitter, make him better. Right? God wants you to have great relationships. He wants you to have total life prosperity. And here's something else, man. Let me share this with you. Despite your mistakes, God blesses your life and it's irreversible. Woo! Turn to somebody and say, that is grace. Amen. So today, as a believer, we live under the covenant of grace. And it's important that you feel secure in your relationship with God. Amen. God doesn't want you living in fear. God doesn't want you living in panic. God wants you living in the security of his love, joy, and peace flowing out of your life. Amen. And it's kind of like the example of taking a child who's being corrected. When a child is corrected in an environment of love and non-threatening, that child can feel loved by the parent even while being corrected. Because they're in a loving environment. They know their parents love them and have the best for them. I want to tell you, God loves us and has the best for us. Amen. And we want to create an environment like that. And God's created that for us. And we want to create it, if you're a parent, for your children and for your grandchildren. You want to create a grace-loving environment. Wow. Matthew 7:11. Amen. Matthew 7:11. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, right? Come on, somebody. How much more? Everybody say, how much more? How much more will your Father who is in heaven give what? Bad things, terrible things, put cancer on you, give you a heart attack? Eck, 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 eck. Wasn't that Billy Joel? Just, I don't know. Put a heart attack on you, No. God is only capable of good. He says, I want to give you good things. Amen. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more? I want you to look at Hebrews for a second. We're going to go over here and look at this because I want to deal with this a little bit because there's a lot of fear going on in the body of Christ and there's a lot of misunderstanding of God's word. So look at Hebrews 4 and let's go Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. You got it in your Bible, you can turn there, you can look up here as well. For it is impossible. Here's the impossible things. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, right? And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, that if they fall away to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Okay, stop right there. So we're going to deal with this in a second. But first of all, I want you to see the first impossible here, right? Everybody got the first impossible? Now I want you to see the second impossible in chapter 6 in verse 14 through 18, right? Here we go. Here's the second impossibility. Saying, surely blessing I will bless you. And multiplying I will multiply you. Verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible, second impossible, for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of hope and set before us. Surely I will bless you. When you look at verse 14, it says God will surely bless you. He didn't say, I'm just sure, he's just going to bless surely. He didn't say just Shirley, so if your name's Shirley, it's just not for you. Come on, somebody. Pastor, is that as good as you can do this morning? That's as good as you're going to get today. I'm just saying, amen. Surely, surely, turn to somebody and say, surely, surely God is going to bless me. And it's impossible, the Bible says here, it's impossible for God to lie. God promises to bless us. It's impossible for him to retract the blessing that comes through Jesus Christ. Even though you mess up, it's impossible for God to retract that. So don't let the enemy snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory, and don't always put your focus on condemnation in the Scripture. Put your focus on the life of the Scripture. Do you know how Jesus dealt with people that were sinners? Do you realize that Jesus blessed them while they were yet sinners? Do you realize that Jesus healed them and blessed them while they were yet in sin? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He was blessing people even though they were in sin. He was healing them even though they were sinners. He was gracious to them. He didn't withhold healing. He didn't withhold his blessing. It's because of the goodness of God, not the curse of God or the anger of God or the wrath of God, but it's the goodness of God that men repent. Woo! That's why people change, is because God's been so good to me. Man, I just got to, Lord, man, you've been good to me, God. Our Lord Jesus is so grace-minded. Let us be grace-minded and not condemnation-minded. Let us be grace-minded. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 20. Look at this real quick. Amen? That is that God was in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing. Everybody say not imputing. That means not putting on their trespasses to them, not causing wrath to come up on their life, not causing things to happen in their life because they've been bad. No, that's a wrong theology. He says, I'm not imputing to them what they deserve. I'm not imputing because I took what they didn't deserve. Amen. I took everything upon me on the cross, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We're talking about this being the year of restoring. God's committed to us the same thing. That's why we don't judge people after the flesh. We look after the Spirit, amen? Because we want to restore people, amen? We want to bring people back into life and back into relationship with God. We don't want to discount them. We want to bless them. Now look at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are representative of this same restoring grace. As though God was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Sin cannot stop God's grace from operating. For grace is greater than all sin. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. The way Jesus went around reconciling the world was through the gracious and merciful way he dealt with sinners. Instead of seeing them in their sin and punishing them under the law, what was judicially deserved, right? Jesus went around dispensing restoration and healing and blessings to their lives. That's what Jesus did. The word reconciliation is the word in God is commands us to be these ambassadors of reconciliation. We bring people back into a relationship and to life wherever we go. Oh, amen. He reconciled them. The moment people receive Jesus in their life, they are given the power to become the sons of God. Wow, the very moment, no matter who it is, they receive Christ in their life, they've been given the power to become the sons of God. Look at John 1:12. Amen. But as many as received him, to them, he gave what? The right to become, the power to become children of God to those who believe on his name. Amen. As believers, Jesus finished work on the cross, gives us a righteous foundation to receive grace today. Amen. The law follows a natural way of thinking. It's all about do good, get good, right? But grace, no, grace follows after Jesus' heart. Amen. I love you. I paid the price for you. Amen. This is who I am. Come and receive from me. Man. Listen to me. For believers, and this is where people get hung up, for believers, there is no unpardonable sin. Look at Hebrews 10, 26, 27. I want to deal with this a little bit. And we've dealt with it before, but man, I hear a lot of people just stumbling over this because people, when they begin to read things, they focus on the condemnation instead of focusing on life. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Look at verse 27. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversary. How many have ever heard preaching that would scare the heebie-jeebies out of you? How many has ever heard preaching that would just frighten you? Anybody? Anybody grow up in old time, maybe some of you have an old time Pentecostal preaching, Baptist preaching, right? I mean, some of these, you know, that you grow up in that and they'd preach hellfire and brimstone and scare the hell out of you, right? Come on, somebody, right? That's no way to live the Christian life. God doesn't want you walking in fear that every few minutes you're in the point of going to hell if you do something wrong. That is just promoting sin instead of causing you to live an abundant life. That type of preaching will scare you for a moment. Maybe you'll get right with God or think you get right with God, but that's all condemnation and judgment, and it doesn't bring life. And so there are people and churches and leaders which envision God's people to have right behavior more than that, more than they want them to have a right attitude. It's all about your attitude. Right believing leads to right living. Right? So I want us to look at the context of this, because if you take it out of context, then the only thing you have left is a con. If you take the text out, the only thing you got left is a con, right? So I want you to look at this. So I want you to understand what's going on here, and I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. So let's look at what was going on, and we're going to take just a moment on this because I want to share this with you. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. So the very first verse says, God spoke to our fathers. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, was not written to the Gentiles. The book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrew nation. To the Jewish nation. It wasn't written to us. Amen? We have it and we glean from it, and there's great promises there, but it was primarily written to the Hebrew nation. And he said in 26 and 27, for if we willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, There no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation. So it says, if we sin willfully, there's no longer remains a sacrifice, right? Y'all still with me? So if someone comes to you and says that you can lose your salvation if you sin willfully, you would have a fearful expectation of judgment coming on you. The truth is that even as believers, we've all sinned willfully. Oh, come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching to you. So does that mean you lost your salvation? No. We can, from the very next verse that says in Hebrews 10, 28, 29, look what he says here. Hebrews 28, 29. Listen, here's the answer. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Look at the next verse. Oh, how much worse punishments do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the spirit of, wow. So anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Wow. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he thought worthy who was trampled the Son of God under feet, counted the blood of the covenant, who was sanctified a common thing? A common thing for the Jewish people, a common thing in this context was considered the blood of Jesus to be like the blood of bulls and goats. The blood of bulls and goats took away sin for that year. The blood of Jesus takes away sin forever. So they counted it as a common thing. They were counting this as a common thing and not putting everything into Jesus Christ. Y'all still with me? And they insulted the Spirit of grace. What falls into the category of willfully sinning, for which there is no forgiveness, is turning away from Jesus and saying you don't need his grace, that you can live up to the law and make it on your own. That is what is truly willfully sinning and not and insulting the Spirit of grace and calling what Jesus did for all eternity a common thing. Wow. So this is what he's saying by this. He's saying that as believers today, it's impossible to do that. It's impossible for us to do that because we've accounted Jesus' blood not as a common thing, but the blood of Jesus has saved us today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen and amen. And we don't take lightly God's grace because we know the payment of God's grace. So we receive God's grace into our life. And that's what he's saying to us. I have received the grace of God into my life. We receive it into our life and it changes everything for us. Wow. Hallelujah. In context, sin willfully means to reject grace and to go back to the temple sacrifices. Go back to self-effort. Go back to your own working out your own salvation. On the flip side, when you accept his grace, you are set up to receive all his blessings. Woo! I don't know about you, but I take them all. Amen. Hebrews 6:14. This is why I said this. Surely blessings. This is all in Hebrews, but he's talking now to the believers. He's saying, surely blessings I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Do you realize that no demon in hell, no sin can ever reverse God's blessings over your life as a believer? Woo! Somebody should get real excited about that. Let me say that again. There is no demon, there is no man, there is no sin that can ever separate you as a believer from God's blessings because of God's grace operating in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, God, some praise. Amen. Let me show you something real quick. Turn to Numbers 23:19-21. Numbers 23:19-21. Hallelujah. He says this, God is not a man that he should lie. How many believe that? Nor the Son of Man, speaking of Jesus, that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? He's going to make it good. Amen. Look what he says next verse. Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed and cannot, what? He has blessed us, and he can't reverse it. You know why he can't reverse it? Because of Jesus. Because of the contract that Jesus has on the cross with you and me. He has blessed us, and he cannot reverse it. This is Barak, the prophet, speaking of blessing. When he was sent to do a curse, he couldn't do it. It turned out to be a blessing. Look at the next verse. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob. He doesn't see iniquity in you. He sees Jesus in you. And when you understand grace, grace doesn't cause you to sin. Grace causes you to triumph over sin. Woo! Nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. The shout of the king is among them. Hallelujah. God wants his best for you. Look at Hebrews 6:18. Go back again. Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. We have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Now, this is really interesting because everybody say refuge. In the Old Testament, and he's writing to Hebrews, right? He's writing to Hebrew believers who are wanting to go back under the law and practice the law. That's why he said it, that's sinning willfully. When you go back and you want to do it out of self-effort instead of relying on God's blessings and his word and promise. You all still with me this morning? So he talked about refuge. He's referring to the cities of refuge where were set up in the Old Testament. There were six of them, east and west, that if anyone murdered anyone accidentally, before the family could get to them and kill them, they could flee to a city of refuge and find refuge and strength and shelter and food. What's unique about the cities of refuge? It's where the high priest were. And the high priest received the best of the best. And when these people would flee after accidentally killing someone, they would flee to the city of refuge. They would have the best of the best given to them. May I submit to you this morning that Jesus is our city of refuge. And we have the best of the best blessings given to us. Amen. Woo! We have the very best given to us. Y'all still with me? And then what do you say? Well, Pastor, that was an accidental murder. That was an accidental murder, right? And so they're able, I can understand that. But what about somebody that actually commits murder? Do you know there's forgiveness for them as well? Turn to somebody and say, do you realize that? Do you know there's forgiveness for them? Look at Luke 23:34. Man, grace is amazing. So it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, grace has got you covered. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do, and they divided his garments and cast lots. Father, forgive. These people murdered the innocent of innocents, Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus do? He turned and said, Father, forgive them. I'm going to tell you, God's grace is open to everybody. God's grace is open to everybody. He wants us to receive the blessings of the Lord. How do we receive the blessings of the Lord? We just simply get into that word and we receive it by faith. Look at Galatians 3:9-10. I know I'm jumping ahead there, Aaron, but thank you for helping me out. Galatians 3:9-10. So then those who are of faith, how many are of faith this morning? Are blessed. How many know you're blessed? You're blessed. How are you blessed? With believing Abraham. How are we blessed? We put our same faith that Abraham looked ahead, we look back and put our same faith in the same Jesus. And because we have that faith, we are blessed with believing Abraham. We have blessings flowing in our life because of Abraham. All right, let me give you one more verse. We are blessed by faith this morning because of the word of God. Look at Hebrews 10:1-3. Hebrews 10:1-3. For the law having a shadow of good things, the law was not the answer. The law, actually the preaching of the law stirred up sin. The preaching of grace stirs up righteousness. Oh, that's good, Pastor. Thank you, brother. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year make those approach perfect. Look at the next verse. For then would they have not ceased to be offered. For the worshipers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sins. Man, here's what he's saying there. He said if it was working, it'd be great because then they'd have no more conscience of sins. But the problem is, every time they offered, they had a consciousness of sin every year. But in us, we don't have that consciousness of sin any longer. But in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sin every year. But John said, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." So you and I can receive the blessing of life because our sins have been eradicated by Jesus Christ on the cross, that the blessing of Abraham may come upon us. Is anybody blessed this morning? Come on, let's stand today. Give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand up this morning. Amen. Let's give him some praise today. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and praise him this morning. Amen. If you're blessed today, I want you to praise him. Will you do that? If you know you're blessed, will you give him some praise this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands this morning. Let's say it with Pastor today. Thank you, Jesus. I'm living off your word. I'm a word person. Your word is in me. Today, I declare I am blessed, I am favored, I am healed, I am set free, and all the blessings are mine today. I'm no longer under the curse of the law, but I'm under the blessing of grace and favor in my life. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, able to do great exploits, have success in every area of my life. I give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hey, we're really excited. We're looking at expanding the nursery and the children's church. It's going to be an awesome thing. We're going to be having prayer, offering prayer in here in the mornings. But I'm excited about that. Some good things are happening. And I love you today. Next Sunday, invite five people to come with you, right? But if you're interested in recovery, Celebration Recovery, if you're interested in helping us and kind of form and look at getting together the food bank, I want to see you back here for about 5 minutes. And the rest of you, I'm going to meet you at the door here. Have a Jesus-filled week. You are loved. Amen.